Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of studies out of the book of John. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
Has revealed him. Jesus came to show us what the Father looked like. You would have never known what the Father looked like until Jesus showed up. No man has seen God in a bodily form. You remember Moses now, he saw the hind side of God. God said, now ain't nobody seen me face to face and live, Moses. So let me fix it. Well, let me put you in the corner of this rock right there. Now, you stay right there, and I'm passing by. And when God passed by, he had to pass by like this here. He had to turn his back. So Moses wouldn't die. If anybody see him face to face, boom. God has to veil. Amen. And that's the same thing like with Jesus. When he had the fullness of God on the inside of him, he came down here to show us what the Father looked like. And when he was on the transfiguration, remember, Jesus was praying so that what was on the inside just popped out. Boom! And when Peter and James and John, they woke up and they saw Moses and Elijah talking with them, talking with Jesus. And Peter woke up and the Bible says he was fighting, didn't really know what to say. And he just said, "Ooh, Lord, it's good for us to be here." Because he saw Jesus in his essence. Amen. He saw him. He saw him in his essence. Boy, that's power. Somebody may say, boy, I wish that we could have that kind of experience. Peter says, you got even something greater. He said, because see, that just faded away. He said, but what you got the word and it won't even fade. Amen. Amen. Isn't that something? This power, this Bible, man, you don't want to trade this Bible for an experience at all. Somebody say, man, but you know, if I could just walk when Jesus walked and talk, hey, when you get in this Bible, you'll be walking right there with him. And when a preacher do a real good job, that's the job of the preacher, is to take you back to Canaan land. Take you back, and when he talking about turning the water into wine, you're supposed to be able to really see it, ain't be to smell the wine when he's doing a real good job there. Amen. Amen. Just like the other week I was describing about that lame man and how that lame man, you know, didn't have good bladder control. And I saw some people start turning their nose. I said, well, I'm doing a good job now. Oh, they can smell it. They can smell it. When you start smelling it, I say, oh, that's working now. Yeah. I say, they into the text now. They can feel it with me. Because just reading it, you didn't catch it, did you? But when a preacher can paint a picture for you, then you say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. The story come to life. Amen. Amen. And so what Jesus wanted to, he wanted to bring God alive to people. Because the thing about church, things can become ritualistic. And then you can start going through formality. And things get cold and dull. And you start saying stuff like, do I have to go to church? Because church done got boring and done got dull. When is it going to be over with? Got boring and dull. But when something got some life to it, hey, you don't mind staying a little bit longer. Amen. As a matter of fact, you start wondering why he cut it off. Because it was getting good, so he cut it off. You see what I'm saying? Because it's come alive. Amen. You know, our teacher in seminary used to tell us, he said, listen, you up there preaching the most exciting book on earth, and you're preaching about the most exciting person. He says, now that's a travesty if you put anybody to sleep. It's your fault. Something ain't right with you. Amen. Because if you got the most exciting person, you telling somebody about the most exciting person, and you trying to introduce them to the most exciting person. I mean, this person here is somebody that can just, sweep you off your feet here. I mean, this is just an exciting person. Then you shouldn't be boring at all. Amen. 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 I'll never forget, from my big sister found out that I was getting ready to get married. My wife told him, my mom and stuff, she told him even before I did. She was so excited about it. That's all right. I couldn't blame her either, you know. You know. So when I got home, my sister said, "Timmy, is it true?" And I started talking. And then she said, "Yeah, it's really true. I can tell. I mean, you done lit up like a light bulb talking about her." Now that's what's supposed to happen when we talk about Jesus. You ought to be lighting up like a light bulb. You ought to be letting it shine. I mean, you're getting ready to get married, and you can't get excited about the person you're finna get married to? Oh, something ain't right there. Iris did, my sister, "Oh, I know it's true now." Amen. I can see how your eyes done got. I can see how smile done got. "Oh, I know it's true now." Amen. I just want to go on and on and on and on and on. And normally, my sister, she always grabbing on us. "Wait a minute, let me tell you." That time, it was the opposite. I was grabbing on her. "Well, I ain't finished yet, Iris." Hey, because I had something good to say. Amen. Amen. Normally she keep us up all night long. Amen. Hey, because she got something good to say. Amen. 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 She like to talk too. All right. Let's move on. The third thing. To grant them the privilege of prayer. That's the third thing. The reason Jesus says, I got to go because your prayer life is not going to be as exciting as it can be. If I go, you're going to have a powerful prayer life. Look what he says here in verse number 12. "Truly, truly, I say to you," he said, I ain't kidding now, laying all jokes aside. I believe Jesus used to like to have fun a lot. That's why I think he said truly, truly. I think he used to like to have fun. Kind of like your past. I like to have fun. But laying all jokes aside, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, shall he do." Look at that. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." Now I'm back in John 14 and 12. That's where I'm at. I'm not no longer in chapter 1. I'm John 14 and 12. Jesus says, "And greater works than these shall he do, because I," notice what he says, because I go to the Father. Now that's very important. I'm coming back to that. "And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I do it." That's powerful. Did you see that? Jesus is letting us know that the reason that you are able to even ask for something is because I done went and talked to Daddy. Amen. Now that's powerful. If Jesus would not be there, then you would not even have a right to come to the Father and pray. How many of y'all been living so good, so holy, so righteous, that you can go on into the God's throne room with your bad self and ask whatever you want to ask with your bad self? How many of y'all? How many of y'all been living so good? How many of y'all went today and didn't sin? But how many of y'all gonna say your prayers tonight? Huh? Is everybody gonna say their prayers before they go to bed? What about you? Y'all gonna say your prayers too? All right, everybody gonna say their prayers before they go to bed. The reason that God won't tell you, get up off your knees, get up, shoot, get out of here, get out of here. And he could. He could. Matter of fact, he should. Because y'all already done told me. Y'all already told me that you sinned today. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? They just, I don't know what it was, but they ate off the wrong tree. They ate a grape or an orange or an apple. I don't know what it was. A cucumber? Somebody said cucumber on Sunday. I don't know what it was. No, that's a vegetable, so they ain't no qualifier. It was a fruit. A piece of fruit. And what did God do when they ate that piece of fruit? He said, you can't stay here. You better get on out of here. You can't stay here. And matter of fact, he fixed it where they couldn't even come back there. Because he put some cherubim, some angels, that was doing, you know, those swords like the Nintendo Turtle and stuff. Flipping flaming swords. So there's nowhere in the world you can get close to that. You ain't getting back up in here. That's right, God was going to cut them up if they came up in there. They're going to get cut up and burn up. You see what I'm saying? But all because of Jesus, you are able to get on your knees tonight and pray. And I don't know, the Father sitting on the throne, he get the request. He could either rip it up. But because the Son is there, he said, I died for him now. That's a proof. All because Jesus sitting right there. Sitting by the right hand of the Father. Thank you. He said, y'all better be glad I'm going away. Amen. Don't try to hold me. They were trying to hold Jesus, but Jesus said, listen, let me go. As a matter of fact, you'll be able to do greater stuff than I've been doing. Now, don't nobody go crazy on me here. Don't go crazy on me here, because there is a theology out there that folks thinking that they can go out and raise up the dead now. You know, Jesus said that we'll be able to do greater work than him. You see what I'm saying? I don't know. Y'all may not have time. That's right, y'all working people. Y'all don't have time to listen to the radio, Christian television and stuff. But a lot of stuff that come across that Christian television ain't Christian television. And come across the Christian radio, it just ain't. It just don't come up to this Bible. Matter of fact, I say, where they getting that from? But this is one of those scriptures that they have taken. And they say, you know, they said, you know, when somebody died, and to me, it's religious abuse. Now, that's abuse to go and tell somebody that's already hurting, done lost one of their loved ones, say, child, you need to get Reverend so-and-so, and we're going to go down there to the funeral home, and we're going to pray, and we're going to raise that person from the grave. Stuff like that actually happened. And they go down there and do crazy stuff like that. And that person is hurting. And they pumped them up and gave them false hope. They get down there and they couldn't do it. Now they wondering, after the funeral's over, they wondering, you know, should I even go back to church? Because they don't even have the power, because they told me right here in the scripture that they'll be able to do greater work. I see it right here. It said they'd be able to do greater work. But that preacher there couldn't do it, so I need to find a preacher that can, so next time around. You see what I'm saying? It's that kind of crazy thinking. See, that's why the Bible says, go back, well, we hadn't made it there yet, but over in John 15, look what Jesus says in John 15, verse number 6. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, well, let's see, verse 7. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. It's all about prayer. Is not so much me getting God to come down here and sign off on my stuff that I want done, but prayer is me tapping into the boardroom in heaven and finding out what decision done been made, and then I take that decision that done been made in heaven and implement that on earth. It's not my will imposing upon the Father. It's the Father's will, and I just done grabbed it. You see? That's why Jesus, he didn't go to the Father, remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked the Father, he said, Father, if it be thy will, can you take the cup away from me? But nevertheless now, Father, I don't want you to change anything. Nevertheless, not my will. I mean, don't change it just because I asked for it. But let thy will be done. Keep this thing coming down just like you had it. Don't flip nothing now. See, you can get what you want, but you lose what you got. You always want to stay in God's perfect will. You don't ever want to get in the permissive will of God. The permissive will of God, that's where your heartaches, trials, that's where your pains. It's a lot of heart over there in the permissive. Matter of fact, that's what we are going through now. Since Adam and Eve have sinned, is the permissive will of God. God permitted them to sin. And you see, what we're going through, man could have lived forever in perfect harmony and peace, never knowing sin, if Adam and Eve would have never ate off that tree, if they never would have ventured into, what was that, the tree of what? Knowledge. I think I can figure it out. Getting a little more knowledge. And isn't our world into knowledge today? We done left God out. I was out here talking to the electrician today, and he was saying that he watched a movie. I think it's called the End of Time. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Negger. He was talking about the end of time. That's one of them bloopers. All right. He was talking about the end of time. And on the movie, it was talking about how the devil was tricking people that it's not even a devil. And that's what's happening in our day and age. People done lost the supernatural. And they're not really into it. A lot of people today, you ask them, they say they believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. That's why people are sinning 100 miles an hour, because they don't fear the consequences. See, if you knew, it's just like, why is school so crazy today? Kids acting up so crazy today in school. Now, when you went to school, you couldn't backtalk in school. Every one of the teachers had a scrap, a ruler, a board, a paddle. And if they didn't want to mess with you, they sent you down there to the principal, and he whooped you. You see what I'm saying? The consequences. See, back in the 70s and 80s, a kid was looked upon as being a troublemaker for just throwing paper. You know, spitball. You got in trouble throwing spitball. And today, you know, they come in there packing. You know, what we talked about packing when we were little boys, a little bit of pocket knife. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm gonna bring my knife. Yeah, a slingshot. Amen. You know. You know, when I was going to school, it was Dukes. You know, it was Dukes. Amen? When I was going to school, that's what it was about. It was throwing Dukes when you would talk about throw down. But now these guys, you don't know what they got in these sagging pants. You don't know what they got. They be packing. Number four, to send the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're going to have to finish up on this one here. To send the Holy Spirit. Let's just hit these next two right quick. To send the Holy Spirit, notice what he says in verse number, go back to chapter 14, verse number 15. If you love me, you keep my commandment. And I will ask, notice what he says. I'll ask the Father and he will give you, notice, another helper. That word another helper means paraclete, one of the same kind, that he may be with you. How long? That's very important. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon you, but when you mess up, he would leave you. But thank God that when the Holy Spirit comes in you, you can quench the Spirit, you can grieve the Spirit, but you can't get rid of the Holy Spirit. Oh, isn't that good news? That's good news there. Thank God. We don't have to pray that like David prayed in Psalms 51. Remember in Psalm 51, when he committed adultery, David said, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. Because remember when David got the Holy Ghost? Saul lost it. First Samuel 16, the Bible says that the Spirit left Saul and God sent an evil spirit to Saul. David knew all about that. And the Holy Spirit came upon David. But in the New Testament, thank God that the Holy Spirit come in us. And when you continue to keep reading that all the way down to verse number 26, you'll see how the Holy Spirit will stay with you forever. It's a permanent thing. It's a permanent thing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our earnestness. He's our pledge. Now, when the... you buy a house. They say, do you want this house? Say, yes. They say, do you really want this house? Yes, yes, I want that. Do you really want, I mean, you got your mind? Yeah, I want that house. They say, well, put down some earnest money. Give me $1,000 down. You say you want this house. You said you want it. Put down $1,000 earnest money. Now, just put down a pledge here. Now, that earnest money says that I'm so sure that I want this house that if I don't buy this house, I'll lose that $1,000 earnest money. God is so sure that when you die, or either the rapture, he's so sure that he's going to bring you to heaven. He's so sure that he's going to save you and keep you safe and going to bring you all the way to heaven. You're going to be there at that wedding supper with him. He's so sure that he want to marry you, in other words. He's so sure that he says, I'm willing to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm willing to give you my spirit. And if I don't come back and pick you up, I lose it. In other words, God say, I'll lose me. I'll quit being God. Boy, that's love. You can't tell me nothing. That's some deep love there.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.